Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Thursday edition Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're into the happier happy hour. Evan here in the world headquarters, lightly screening your calls.
So barely.
Hell, you've let some people through. I've really got a question.
Oh, ooh.
At 844-967-2789. We'll take more of your questionable call-ins here in this big hour. But I wanted to talk about Donald Trump. You know, ever since the raid at Mar-a-Lago, this man's been losing his schnizzle, if you know what I'm saying. Overnight, he went to the social media, the truthy social media. What's he called? Truth Social?
I think that's it, yeah.
To tirade, a little truthy tirading overnight from the former president. Former President Donald Trump wasted little time today, once again attacking the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation for executing a search warrant on his Mar-a-Lago resort to retrieve top secret government documents that he had refused to hand over. I'm going to quote Trump.
Even though I am innocent as a person can be, and despite my campaign being spied on by the radical left, the FISA court being lied to and defrauded, all of the many hoaxes and scams that were illegally placed on me by very sick and demented people, and without even mentioning the many crimes of Joe and Hunter Biden, all revealed in great detail in the laptop from hell, it looks more and more like the fake news media is pushing hard for the sleaze to do something that should not be done.
Trump began. That's just the beginning. Just freaking warming up. And it wasn't close to being done. I'll stop doing the Trump voice for now. Joe Biden said he knew nothing about the break-in at Mar-a-Lago. It's a break-in. My bad. FBI raid. Now it's a break-in. The greatest political attack in the history of the U.S. Does anybody really believe this? And you know he's serious because he drops 3 question marks. The radical left, The radical left, Democratic prosecutors are legally trying to circumvent for purely political gain. The president, really? This guy's going to quote the Presidential Records Act, under which I have done absolutely nothing wrong. It cannot be circumvented for me or any other president. Then again, he repeats the claim. They illegally raided my home and took things that should not have been taken. They even broke into my safe, an unthinkable act. Unthinkable. It's unthinkable.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, the search of Mar-a-Lago was conducted legally after the Department of Justice obtained a search warrant from a judge who thought that there was, what do they call it? Oh, yeah, probable cause of a crime. And that they would uncover evidence of multiple crimes. Trump then followed up this post with an all caps message that simply read, Presidential Records Act.
That you're accused of completely flouting. All right.
Yes, that thing. Trump concluded his truthy social tirade with yet another attack on the DOJ and the FBI.
The Justice Department and FBI are leaking at levels never seen before, and I did nothing wrong.
Now, he must forget just how leaky. I mean, his entire administration was a sieve. So, anyways, I think he protest too much.
Leaking like Giuliani's hair, you know?
Very good. I like what you did there, Evan. 844-967-2789. Evan setting a clever pace. Join it, Joe from Madison. Welcome back. What do you got?
Oh, man, interesting show. I'll start off based on this last comment you had with your ex-president describing the legal search warrant that was issued on his property as, quote, the break-in of Mar-a-Lago. And it comes back to how we describe things, you know. I think the discussion over the break on for people with college debt, is that described as a socialist handout, or do we describe that as a handout, you know, or as a handout to help people out of poverty? And I think it comes back to this Good Neighbor festival that you were talking about at the head, Mike. I would remind people that the fight for gun control was started by Republicans, particularly Ronald Reagan in California. And it started back in 67 because the Huey Newton Gun Club was in operation. And it's worth remembering that the Black Panther Party that got going was first described as the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And they were called Black Panthers for short. And they were all about a public display of guns as a central tenet of who they were and what they were. So that's been... and the white people around him didn't like it, particularly Ronald Reagan, and that's where gun control started out. But it's an interesting thing because Black Panthers were kind of good neighbors for the people in their community. They had, you know, breakfast kids, programs for school kids. They had programs after school. They had ambulance services, medical clinics, that sort of thing. So I think when we come down to Vicki McKenna and folks describing who should be in a good neighbor parade, it might be worth taking a really broad look at that. You know what I'm saying? A really broad look. And is one guy with his AR really worth it? Or are there people who are working in the community who should be celebrated? And I pity the poor people who were running that just a parade, and now it's become this political nightmare. And I'm so sorry that such a joyous event has been tainted in such a way. It hurts. It's too bad. It really is way too bad. So my thoughts.
Joe, I'm going to be honest. I participated in a decade worth of the parades in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, they're okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're okay. I know it's a tradition, but parades are still hot and sticky affairs that, you know, get a little tedious.
If you were five, you'd like them. If you were seven, you'd like them. You'd have a different POV then.
Oh, my kids liked them when they were little shavers. Yeah. Mom and dad got a little bored, but, you know, more fun when you get to throw the candy at the other kids. I think they liked being the dolers of the candy. They were like Santa Clauses amongst kids. You know, they got to throw candy out to the other kids like, I'm your God. Take some candy.
Yeah. Well, it is unfortunate, though, that it has been made into the snarl as has been described, because it's just not worth it. It's just, why can't you just have an event without somebody insisting on bringing their AR, right?
Well said, Joe. Why can't, you know, I hate to even pile on and keep rehashing the calls to violence being made on the right wing airwaves with consistency. It's not a one off. The fact that Vicki McKenna would provide a platform for a sheriff's candidate that said basically go arm up and go defy the good neighbor parade officials in Middleton, to the point where the good neighbor parade has basically canceled the ability of any politicians to walk in the parade. And their deal was it was incumbents only. I mean, hell, Rojo was invited. But, you know, one Yahoo inspired by Vicki. And the next thing you know, you can't feel safe in my backyard. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC. Welcome back, Mark. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Yeah, that's a shame on the parade there. It's just idiotic. You feel you need to be these guys feel it necessary to carry their firearms over. But these clowns probably think the Lee Marvin character from The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance was the hero of the piece because he was a guy who was using his firearms to enforce a political will on the people in the town that they lived in. He's beating up people, you know, breaking up the press. That's what they, you know, call for violence is what these guys insist on. In this defense of Trump, I mean, I'll point out once again that none of those documents, those presidential documents, unclassified or classified, should have been in Trump's possession anymore. None of them. Absolutely none of them. Any of those documents was a violation of the law because he had no business having any of them, period. And for all the people that don't believe that, oh, no big deal, well, he should not have had any of that stuff. Period. Pure and simple, none of it. I mean, I don't care if it was unclassified. He should not have had those records, period. I mean, they shouldn't have left the White House.
No, I don't disagree with you, Mark. You know, I think you put a period on it. 844-967-2789. A little update. The search warrant for Mar-a-Lago, supposed to be at least the redacted version, supposed to be released tomorrow before noon. Here's the latest from CNN. Justice Department ordered to release redacted Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit. The Justice Department must release the redacted version of the Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit by noon Friday, a federal judge ruled. The affidavit lays out why investigators believe there was probable cause that crimes had been committed. I think Mark just mentioned them. You know, it's probably the evidence sitting down in the footlocker or the unlocked storage room in Mar-a-Lago that everyone had seen. And this, you know, just for the record, is not Trump's house. It's a social club. He charges admission to come join the club and hang out in the mansion. So anyways, early Thursday, the DOJ submitted its proposed redactions to the U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhardt, who issued the order for public release. Justice Department spokesperson Anthony Coley said, "The United States has filed a submission under seal per the court order of August 22. The Justice Department respectfully declines further comment as the court considers the matter." Well, Trump's not afraid to go out there and talk about it. The Justice Department prosecutors have emphasized that they need continued secrecy as to not disrupt the ongoing criminal investigation. Remember, of the former president. Criminal investigation, especially as they keep confidential grand jury activity and protect witnesses who have or could share information. You remember the old Trump administration leak like a sieve? I think we talked about that too. Can't trust that guy. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. You can trust me. I'll be back in 2 and 2.
Is it serious? Is it safe?
Yeah, probably.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday Happier Happy Hour. You can always be a part. Lightly screened right here at 844-967-2789. The Washington Post at this hour. A new update from Fulton County. And there have been accusations against the investigation, the Fulton County investigation, in the, what, election tampering of the former president. And there have been lots of people subpoenaed to testify before the grand jury down there. Lindsey Graham's gotten a subpoena. He's fighting that subpoena. He's trying to quash that subpoena. Doesn't want to testify. Doesn't want to be caught, is what I suspect. Also, the governor, the current governor of the state of Georgia, doesn't want to testify that, you know what, Donald Trump pressured him. Brian Kemp, we're talking about. Well, Kemp is worried that if he goes out there and publicly testifies against Donald Trump, the grand poobah, the cult leader, well, that's political suicide for him. And so anyways, he's trying to quash the subpoena also. But the headline, the newest, the breaking from the Washington Post, Georgia judge skeptical of claims of political bias in the 2020 election probe, you know, the probe of the tampering by those that, you know, actually showed some bias. But anyways, the judge presiding over the grand jury investigation into possible election interference by Donald Trump and his allies expressed skepticism today over arguments from Republicans that the prosecution, led by a Democratic district attorney, was politically motivated. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert C.I. McBurney did not immediately rule on the request from Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, he's a Republican, to toss a subpoena for his testimony from the Fulton County D.A. Fannie Willis. "It is not my space to focus on politics," McBurney said as the lawyers for Kemp argued that the subpoena had already become a political issue this election season. "I don't think it is the right forum to debate the political ramifications of the case," said the judge. So really, it's not his job to go dig in and figure out what ramifications that could have. Something about ruling on the law, I think he's supposed to do. But anyways, more reporting from the Post. With the midterm elections approaching, the investigation has expanded dramatically, reaching Trump's inner circle and edging closer to the former president himself. Hours after hearing the hearing ended today, the prosecutor's office requested subpoenas compelling testimony from Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, lawyer Sidney Powell, and cybersecurity expert James Phil Waldron. So did you catch that? New subpoenas being dropped today. This is new stuff. So I'm going to repeat that. The Fulton County DA, Fannie Willis, has issued subpoenas for Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, lawyer Sidney the Kraken Powell, and cybersecurity expert James Phil Waldron. More from the Post. In recent days, a new wave of political and legal tensions erupted into public view, with Kemp's attorney and others accusing prosecutors of politicizing the sensitive case. Kemp, who resisted pressure from Trump to overturn Georgia's election results, is considered a key witness. I think he might be. Prosecutors said in a filing this week they would like to ask the governor about calls he received from Trump and others pressing him to contest the state's election results. But here's the problem, folks. Kemp's running for re-election against Democrat Stacey Abrams, a former state lawmaker and voting rights advocate whom he nearly beat in 18. Last week, Adams tweeted that the governor's refusal to testify shows that he will do anything to win an election. Now, Kemp wants credit for standing up to Trump, but refuses to testify against the former president and said he would welcome his endorsement. Yeah, that's damning. Right, Tim Michaels? It can be a little damning. So remember, a vote for Tim Michaels or Brian Kemp is a vote for Donald Trump, but a little bit more. In court on Thursday, lawyers for the governor cited Abrams' comments. It is an example of the politicization of the ongoing inquiry. Yeah, other political candidates talking about their rivals. See how politicized it got? Here's the quote. "What began as an investigation into election interference has itself devolved into its own mechanism of election interference." That's a stretch. The governor's lawyer wrote in a 121-page motion seeking to kill a subpoena for the governor's testimony, or at least delay the matter until after the election, you know, because he doesn't want to give testimony. Willis denied any political motivation in court filings that became public last week. "Let's discuss the ways you are wrong. This is not a politically motivated investigation. It is a criminal investigation," Willis wrote in a letter released as part of last week's motion. It was not clear from the hearing today, which lasted more than 2 hours, whether Kemp's efforts to invalidate the subpoena will prevail. In July, the judge rejected a similar request from the lieutenant governor and a former state senator to toss subpoenas. And earlier Thursday, McBurney issued a decision rejecting a request from 11 of Georgia's 16 Republican would-be electors who sought to disqualify the prosecution team because of political bias. Prosecutors say these electors may have been part of a plan to cast electoral college votes for Trump in Georgia and other states, despite Joe Biden's victory. lawyers for the electors deny any wrongdoing. We did nothing wrong, citing a pending court case over the Georgia election at the time they were certified. The roster of electors included Georgia Republican Chair David Schaefer, candidate for Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, county-level GOP officials, and the former state lawmaker and local Republican activist. The ongoing inquiry, McBurney wrote, is inherently political in simple and unremarkable sense that politicians and leaders of a specific political party are alleged to have undertaken efforts to defeat the will of Georgia's electorate. Yeah, how is this not going to be a political trial? Brian Kemp, you are not above the law either. I hope the judge sees through this effort to, what, exempt the man? Yeah, because I got a big election I got to go win. Come back with us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. More time for your calls on the other side at 844-967-2789.
I will do anything it takes to win.
And when you're a star, they'll let you do it. You can do anything.
So why don't you just leave me alone?
percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Eve edition. That makes it Thursday, I believe, all day. So anyways, we'll get through it. We're nearly at quitting time. We'll take you all the way to Friday at 844-967-2789. Going to the phones right now, Matt from Minneapolis. Listening on AM 950, I suspect. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, that's great. Yeah, you know, my 60s band plays Paint It Black, so that was a great bumper thing for... But I got two questions for you guys, okay?
I'm ready for them, Matt. Bring them.
Okay. The first one is... Who is this CJ guy who keeps calling your show and then you guys get in fights? And the second question is, do you think Trump is ever going to land in prison for any of this rubbish?
Let's start with CJ, Matt. CJ is a local troll here in the Madison, Wisconsin area. I think he lives under a bridge nearby. So we occasionally allow him to join the show because, you know, he's got so little going right for him in life. Above and beyond that, you ask me whether or not I think Donald Trump's ever going to end up in prison. And I've been fighting with my buddy Dominic quite a bit about this. Pardon me, a little smoker's cough. Matt, the issue I have with the current Mar-a-Lago stuff is that it is, quote unquote, a paperwork crime. And in fact, Trump garnered legal advice. He has a lawyer, from the Heritage Foundation, I believe, telling him he didn't have to return any of these documents. So I worry that we're getting a little caught up in these minor crimes. And they are minor crimes. You know, I don't know if he's trying to sell state secrets to Russia. That sort of elevates the crimes. But if we're just talking about seizing and taking paperwork that should have belonged to the archives and the American people and taking it, no, I don't think Donald Trump will ever serve a day in jail for the paperwork crimes. But Matt, I'm praying to whatever God may exist that history will judge Donald Trump and that he will be convicted for the incitement of an insurrection and the plotting of a coup against democracy. That is the real underlying crime. And it's not just the violence of the coup of the insurrectionist at the Capitol that day. It was the underlying plotting, the intended violence against democracy. Man, that's the real crime. That's what the man should spend the rest of his life in prison for, to my humble opinion.
Right. Well, anyway, okay, thanks for talking to you guys, and keep up the good work.
Well, keep playing Paint It Black, man. That's a great tune. Man, thank you for listening. Be like Matt. Join us at 844-967-2789. And some of you are going, Crudy, I didn't hear Trump had legal advice. He's got plausible deniability on the Mar-a-Lago, the document seizure. Well, he does. Let me read a little of that to you. Today, CNN reported that former President Trump got his advice to hold on to boxes full of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago from Tom Fitton, a right-wing legal activist, and wait for it, a frequent Foxy News guest. They used to invite me come around. Fitton, the longtime head of the legal activist group, Judicial Watch, had a simple message for Trump. It was a mistake to give the records to the archives, and his team should never have let the archives strong-arm him into returning them, according to three sources familiar with the matter. Those records belong to Trump, Fitton argued, citing a 2012 court case involving his organization that he said gave the former president authority to do what he wanted with records from his own term in office. So again, I'm not trying to bore you with the details. It really doesn't matter whether or not Fitton's legal opinion is that Donald Trump could retain the records or not. I think his opinion is erroneous. I think what's being described and the reason for probable cause in this search warrant is because there was clear demonstration of a probable crime on behalf of the former president. But when it comes to what should be the rational and reason, if Donald Trump's indicted, if he is convicted, if he is incarcerated, let's make it for the real crime. But anyways, back to Fitton's opinion. While Trump continued to publicly tout his cooperation with the archives, privately, the former president began obsessing over Fitton's arguments, complaining to aides about the 15 boxes that were handed over, and becoming increasingly convinced that he should have full control over the records that remained at Mar-a-Lago, according to people with knowledge of Trump's behavior at the time. Ironically, Fitton's group has spent years trying to force Hillary Clinton to submit depositions about her use of private email servers for government business, which had previously triggered a federal investigation into whether any classified information had unintentionally been retained by the server. Judicial Watch was litigating the matter as recently as last year. Then the Supreme Court left in place a lower court order denying Judicial Watch's deposition request. Here's a quote, again, from this article here, originally reported at CNN earlier today. Trump didn't completely stonewall the government, as Fitton had advised, turning over some material in June following a meeting between his lawyers and the federal investigators at Mar-a-Lago. But after a Trump lawyer claimed all classified material had been provided, investigators developed evidence suggesting that was not the case, leading to the August 8th search. Well, they developed evidence like an insider. Somebody's inside the Mar-a-Lago residence, right? Somebody narked on the former president. Somebody said, hey, did you look in the closet? A little bit more. This comes amid other reporting that the former president is privately telling his associates he's worried about the investigation into his retention of documents, even as he publicly blasts the FBI probe as illegitimate and politically motivated. You didn't see his truthy social stream. Well, you know, he saved some time. It's not really worth reading, but, you know, he's out there rambling and quite angry. Butthurt, one might say. 844-967-2789. Let me try that again. 844-967-2789. CJ, welcome. You got me rattled, man. What do you got for me today?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Rudy. You know, it's all about timing. This is a distraction from our economy, inflation, the so-called, Student Bribery Act, the loan forgiveness. It's a bribe. Really, you even
it's an effective bribe. It may actually work, CJ. Is that what bothers you, that the Democrats actually cut a break to, let's say, student loan borrowers instead of rich CEOs or foreign corporations? What part of that bothers you precisely?
I would love to see you watching a Republican candidate go down the parade at the Good Neighbor Festival. I'm sure you'd be so respectful and kind that you'd be a wonderful example to your kids.
Ron Johnson came on my show more than 25 times, CJ, mostly in studio. if I was so disrespectful to my Republican friends, I don't think he would have come around.
Well, I've heard how you talk about the sheriff candidate, and
he hasn't come around, nor has he been invited. Well, you know, Vicky McKenna likes me a lot more than I like her, and her and Dominic have been friendly. But I got to tell you, CJ, the fact that she is often inciting or encouraging violence or arming up and going to attend events.
She encouraging violence?
Well, legal she did tell the Patriots to.
Encouraging violence.
Vicky, here, let me finish. I'll give you the answer. You ready for it, CJ? Look up what Vicky McKenna said regarding Kenosha and Patriots, go and get your guns and go out and protect some businesses. This shouldn't be left to Kyle Rittenhouse alone. Now,
yeah,
to me,
I bet you the business owners wish someone would have, because it wasn't.
What? You think business owner CJ wanted some vigilante ass 17-year-old coming into their city and shooting people? CJ, you think that was a positive step? You think that right-wing talk radio hosts should be encouraging their audiences to arm up and go be vigilantes in the street? Because I tell you what, if somebody's burning my business, CJ, and I own a couple of businesses, but if someone's burning it down, I'm insured. It may come as a shock to you, but that would be a recoverable loss. And sure, I don't want to see my business burned down. No one does. But CJ, you know, to go protect another person's property without their consent or request and kill people in the process, yeah, that is a violent, insightful encouragement of violent behavior. And Vicky McKenna's done it more than once. And she should be deplatformed. She should be canceled, TJ. Now, I'm not calling iHeart, you know, Heartless Radio, how they continue to allow the culpability of broadcasting this violence inciting host on the air. I don't know why they let her do it, but if I don't care for her company, CJ, it's mostly because she incites others to violence. And she won't get faxed. And, you know, she denies the outcome of the last election, hangs out with Sheriff David A. Clark quite a bit. Doesn't like your boy Robin Voss much. 844-967-2789. Going back to the phones. You know, CJ, I hope someone brings you like a warm blanket. Because, you know, sleeping under the bridge, that's really got your butt hurt. 844-967-2789. Robert from West Dallas. Welcome. What do you got, Robert?
Hey. I think what bothers them so much is that this is directed towards, you know, working people and you know, not the elite.
You mean the $10,000 in student loan forgiveness announced by Biden?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I guess my question is, why do the people on Fox News and the right wing want America to fail so much? I mean, Biden's been racking up win after win after win. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, the jobs report for July was released. And, you know, I thought Maria Bartiromo's head was going to explode because it was positive news and she didn't know how to wrap her mind around it. And, you know, on Larry Kudlow's program, they're talking between, you know, 100, 250,000 jobs. The jobs report came out. It was 528,000 new jobs. So I just really, you know, that's all they got. When you don't have a platform, you have to, you know, create issues and, you know, run on fake economic issues, I guess.
Well, anything that the current president, Joe Biden, would do, and again, Robert, you've heard me say it on this program, I have no idea why Republicans hate this man. I mean, I didn't find him to be that inspiring of any strong emotions. But anyways, his efforts to help the American people in any modest way, well, of course, that's got to be attacked. That's got to be eviscerated. It's got to be misconstrued. Because, Robert, people actually find Democratic policies popular. ACA, popular. What the Democrats and the candidates, for the most part, are advocating for, very popular with the American people, very popular here in the state of Wisconsin. And as you know, Robert, what's not very popular is taking away a woman's right to choose autonomy for her own body, taking away people's right to vote or disenfranchising them or, you know, making disabled voters disenfranchising, making it impossible for them to vote absentee in the state of Wisconsin. All of those things, I hope, sir, cumulatively start waking up the electorate. People realize, you know what? Republicans don't give a damn for your outcome or what you want. Really, it's just about retaining their power.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Apparently, I've left him speechless. Normally, you know, to leave a man speechless, I got to cut him off on the phones. I do that too. CJ occasionally.
Cut him off.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. We're not done yet. They're not taking this microphone away until like 5:59. So come back with us. Join us on the phones. You know, try to keep your trolling to a minimum. It's Friday Eve, man. We should be winding towards the weekend. Looking forward to good times together as Wisconsinites. Yeah, drinking a little too much. Going to a high school football game, maybe. Badgers kick off in like 2 weeks. Looking forward to that as well. Come back, more Devils. One last segment. Then you can go home.
He's at home! Washing his tights!
Fatality.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, last segment, Thursday edition. Your call is still welcome here at 844-967-2789. Want to be accurate. When I tell you, our fair audience, that right-wing talk radio host Vicky McKenna often encourages arming up, encourages, if not violent behavior, then violent adjacent behavior. Well, here is specifically what she said in regards to Kyle Rittenhouse and the violence in Kenosha. We are, you know, quote unquote, celebrating nearly the 2-year anniversary of what happened, the unrest, the initial reaction to the shooting of Jacob Blake. But here's what Vicky McKenna, right-wing talk radio hostess, air quotes, had to say after Rittenhouse went out shooting. Now, this is in the context of some of her sponsors canceling their support. A Madison healthcare firm has decided to pull the plug on conservative talk radio host Vicky McKenna. Group Health Cooperative of South Central Wisconsin said Friday, and this article is dated from August 28th of 2020, about 2 years ago. Group Health Cooperative of South Central Wisconsin said Friday that it's dropping all of its funding from McKenna's Madison radio station in response to her comments about protests in Kenosha. There should be consequences, said Ellen Waring, Chief Business Development Officer of Group Health Cooperative. This was over the top. So what was over the top? Well, let me tell you about Vicky McKenna's incitement to violence. On her Wednesday show, McKenna came to the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse, 17, of Antioch, Illinois, who was charged Thursday with intentional and reckless homicide and shooting at a Kenosha protest Tuesday that killed two people and injured a third. I'd say maimed a third. The 17-year-old was charged as an adult under Wisconsin law. Now, you may recall that he has been vindicated or at least exonerated, found not guilty of the charges, but McKenna wouldn't have known that then. McKenna said Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense. That was borne out in court, at least per the ruling. But here's the problematic part. Beyond that, the veteran talk show host encouraged patriots and militia members to get their guns and ammo and head to Kenosha to defend life and property. Here is her direct quote. By the way, where are all the patriots who brag on Facebook? Hey, bring it, baby, lock and load. Where the hell were you last night? McKenna asked. She continued, have you cleaned your guns lately? Do you have enough ammo? Beyond that, McKenna suggested that cop-hating, anarchist-loving Governor Tony Evers and pathetic, idiot puppet Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, both Democrats, should be put on trial for what happened in Kenosha. Waring said that McKenna has the right to say what she wants to say about the Kenosha protests, but he also said he had the right to pull his funding from her radio stations. I don't think iHeart gives to squats. Group Health Cooperative has a package deal with iHeartRadio to air ads on its AM and FM stations, and Madison Waring said. He said he informed the station owner that it wanted to pull all its firm's advertising from WIBA. The healthcare firm, Waring said, currently serves as a sponsor of the station's news desk. Well, at the end of the day, I appreciate the effort, GHC, but I would point out iHeart is a big cluster of a conglomerate. So pulling advertising revenue from one arm of the octopus doesn't exactly kill the octopus. So just keep that in mind. But GHC, better to pull your ads than continue to support an insurrectionist, violence-inciting right-wing talk radio host. Just saying. 844-967-2789. Here's another one. Lou from Cudahy. How you doing, Lou?
And my gangster. Hello, sweethearts. It's always good to listen to you bedwetters. I've got bad news for you.
Bring it.
Ron DeSantis and the 1776 Project PAC, PAC. It slipped a bunch of seats and won several conservative majorities on his school boards in the following locations. Bay, Brevard, Clay, Duval, Flagler, Hernando, Hillsborough School Board, Martin, Miami-Dade, Okaloosa, Polk, Putnam, and Sarasota. To say it another way,
Lou,
the parents have taken back.
Lou, tell me what that's got to do about Wisconsin and a talk radio show here, man. DeSantis, I get you want him to run for president, but what does school board super PAC meddling in Florida have to do with me?
It has to do with your agenda, which is being taken back. The kids are being taken back by their parents. And he's also started the situation where veterans and active service members can hold temporary teaching certificates. So you're losing control of the teaching system also.
You mean by putting unqualified teachers in? Because, I mean, I'm a veteran, Lou. That doesn't qualify me to teach anything. Really, it doesn't.
Really?
You know, simply serving in the U.S. Army doesn't qualify me to be a teacher. No, Lou, that is a skilled profession. And the fact that a Ron DeSantis or really anyone wants to undermine a skilled profession like teaching is really at the expense of the children. You get that, Lou, right? If you put able teachers in place.
What I get is that putting the children at the expense of costing them their education with woke activists preaching leftist ideology, that's a problem for me. How about you?
Well, you'd have to define what woke activists, whatever the hell you just said, Lou. But I would say that children have the right to be taught history, even inconvenient history. History that doesn't make, you know, me feel good about myself is still the history of our nation. And I know that lots of Vicky McKenna fans, people like you, Lou, you complain and you hearken on the critical race theory and the wokeness. But that's really learning our country's history, Lou. And those that deny our history are repeating it, probably. You know the old saying, those that don't learn history are bound to repeat
it? They're teaching ideology. They're teaching ideology.
How, though?
Lesson plan stuff.
When's the last time you were in a classroom, Lou? Really? I mean,
you know,
are you taking
I take the comments from parents who come out of the classroom after hearing what they're being taught. And it's just shocking. They don't want to have that put in their kids' head because they care about their kids' education.
I care about my kids' education.
Idealized.
I talk to my children about what they're being taught in the public schools, and it's not ideology. It's history, Lou. It's called history. And, you know, those that don't study it, as my buddy Matt Flynn would say, are, you know, not woke. If you don't know history, you ain't woke. And I know you see that as a derogatory term, Lou, woke. They're woke. But that just means you're asleep at the switch, man. The opposite of woke is to be asleep and to deny the reality that this nation has become and the society you live in. And if you don't like the history, Lou, well, I bet it's been a long time since you had to go to a history class. But thank you for listening to the greatest radio show ever. You know, you do have good taste in that regard. Stick around. Native Roots Radio is next. And then in the Shaw, Joel Clayfish, raised in the Shaw. Here we replay the Paul Revere Show. Mark Thompson, please Keep it locked. Following me.